Thank you for joining us today. So glad that you're with us. We've been going through those studies in John that have been a blessing. And I know that I am behind in getting some of the tests or quizzes together on our website at cgmfinc.weebly.com, as I have been reminded, but we are going to get those on the website soon. I'm about three chapters behind the verse-by-verse studies you guys have been doing. It'll help you, those studies, to be able to go back and refresh yourself on what you've learned previously, and will be a blessing. And I hope that you've liked the study tests that we've had to kind of review things. Also, we're trying to reschedule the conference, the camp meeting on the plains. That's probably going to be put on, and we're going to get a definitive date in August. And please touch base with your shepherd leader in your groups here at CGMF to find out exactly when that is, or you'll get an email from our office. It's good to have you with us. I'm glad I'm getting to share in this session, and I'll be sharing in next week's as well. I'm going to talk about the problem with worrying. The problem with worrying. Already I got a couple of you smiling. Can worries be a problem? Can having that spirit or attitude of worry overwhelm you? I think so. I think it debilitates us sometimes. Puts us in a situation where we kind of freeze, whether it's emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever it might be. And when you worry, it tends to put stress upon yourself. I was talking to a young man the other day who was going through some problems, and he felt like he was having heart palpitations. And I talked to him for a little while and realized he just had a whole lot of stress going on in his life, but he was trying to say, oh, well, it's because of my past. I've had these heart problems when I was a kid. I've been over them a couple of years, but they must be coming back. And I said, don't you claim that. Don't take up that. Don't allow the devil to let you take that mantle up, because that's nothing good. That's not a mantle of anointing or blessing. That's a burden to carry. And I talked to him for a while, and he's going to go check up with his doctor, but yet I tried to let him know, after what I realized from talking with him, he's just got a whole lot going on, and he's putting a lot on himself. And I think we do that. I think we really do that. Each and every one of us, to a degree, want to attain to certain ideals. We want to attain certain things at work. We want to reach certain plateaus. And so, in so doing, we, sometimes put things upon us that are too much for us to carry, burdens that we need lightened. And so we need to be careful, and we have to have wisdom at dealing with the cares of life. Sometimes we talk about accountability. And sometimes the reason why I talk to each and every one of you about having a prayer partner that you're accountable with, and someone who you kind of can trust that's mature in the faith, or someone who has a heart towards you, it's because they can kind of evaluate things and look back and not overlord or have authority over you, but have grace and wisdom in helping you in your walk with Christ. And it also gives you a sounding board at times in your life that helps you as well. Where there are two or more witnesses together, or people that we can bind together and strengthen accord, there's wisdom and there's help. I have a covering in my ministry, both the pastor who I have aligned myself with, and then also my brethren, such as Bishop Tice and others, and Bishop Bohr, who's my regional bishop. I have folks that I, speak to, talk to, feel accountable to, can go to. I don't want to be a lone ranger. But it also helps to have wisdom and to be able to look at things with a clear view sometimes when we're going through trials, when we're going through struggles, when situations in life get the best of us. And sometimes some of you don't even have trials and things going on in your life. You just put pressure on yourself. You just mess with yourself. Come on. You mess with yourself. You get yourself going on things that you don't need to. And a lot of it you just have no control over anyway. Okay, oh me, oh yes, oh something. Turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life. Now, this is the Lord talking. Don't worry about your life. What you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Think about that for a minute. God takes care of his creation. And yet, we, those unique ones that are actually made in the Lord's image, the reflection of his love, that intimate relationship we have one with another and towards him, you know, we just don't think enough of, and we sometimes don't consider the fact of what he thinks about us, and that he's going to take care of us, and that if he worries and takes care of, he doesn't worry, excuse me, I take that back, he does not worry, he takes care of the birds of the field, etc., how much more is he going to take care of you? Well, you know, God knows everything from the end to the beginning. You know, hey, you know, he's got one up on us. Yeah, but so what? He cares about you. He wants to be there for you. He wants to give you wisdom and strength. Give him an opportunity. Your Father loves you. Verse 27. Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? Now, that's a convicting scripture. What can we add to our life by worrying? What can we add by getting worked up on something? Can we add any blessings or anything to life? Now, I need to make a statement here and a little bit of a caveat. I recognize that I don't want you just to ignore things and just, hey, go on by, whatever happens, happens, you know? Pastor said, don't worry about nothing. That's not what I'm saying. Be responsible. You understand what you have to deal with in life, but don't let it get to you. Don't let it work you over. Don't let it beat you up. And sometimes we just imagine things. How many couples, how many people have I spoke to, and they are worrying about things and thinking something's going on that never has even been thought of or considered by the individual or circumstance being developed in their lives? But in their minds, they think, yeah, that's vain imagination. We need to cast aside vain imagination. It does us no good, and there are so many marriages, hearts, and homes, and different ones going through struggles today because of that. They're thinking so-and-so saying something about somebody that isn't. Okay, that's another message. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a whole other situation to deal with. But God cares about you, and so many times we add to our own issues by allowing ourselves to worry about things that aren't even there. It's an illusion. How many things has Satan put in your way that's like an illusion? You think it's there. It looks like it's real to you, but nobody else is seeing it or anybody else in your life. But they're trying to say, hey, you know, I don't see that, what you're talking about. But you think you see it. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Test the spirit. Allow the word of God to become rich in you. We have got to meditate upon the Word of God and get God's Word in our heart and mind. Putting on the helmet of salvation and having our mind guarded against the enemy. Then we got to practice the Word. That's the second thing. We got to practice the Word. And if we do so, and then thirdly, put God first and His Word in preeminence, we will walk in the right precepts, we'll walk in the right direction, we'll get the right angle and get things in order. And then as we obey the spirit that is engaging in our human spirit and is being trained through the word and trained by prayer and trained by our consistency and our development, our walk of God, our spirit will agree with God's spirit and know what to do about things. But so many times we don't get it. We do not train our human spirit the way we need to. We don't keep focus, and so the worries and things of life just beat up on us. False illusions, vain imaginations. They take pot shots at us time and time again where they shouldn't or shouldn't be able to do. That's because we're not meditating on the Word of God enough. We're not getting it into our spirit, man. We're not practicing the Word. We're not living it out. And we're not putting Him first and then, in so doing, honoring His Word, obeying Him, and then allowing that which has taken place to feed our spirit and the Word of God being touched and annoyed by God's spirit gets our spirit in order to communicate with God's spirit to make the right decisions, walk in the right steps, and fulfill the dreams God has for us. Amen? I think we don't do enough preparation in our spirit, man, in us, to sometimes guard against these things that seem to be so big. Satan likes to blow up things, you know? Remember when you were a kid? Remember when you were a kid? And, I mean, I think streets were bigger. I think people were bigger. I think mountains were bigger. I think a lot of things were bigger. When I was a kid, you know, my perspective was different. Now you go back home or you look back at a situation as an adult or a teenager, now even back to your younger days, and you say to yourself, wow, it wasn't like I remember it. When you grow up in the grace and the knowledge of God and you take those four steps that I told you about in your life, meditate upon the Word of God, practicing the Word of God, putting Christ first and thus His Word, obeying Him, and then seeing your spirit trained and the human spirit conveyed with the Spirit of God obeying the voice of the Lord, you're going to see great things happen in your life. But you know something? Sometimes that's not the case, and we're fighting giants that aren't there. We're looking at things that aren't the way they are. We're not looking at things from God's perspective. How many times do you read in the scriptures about, you know, insurmountable odds in the Old Testament especially, that the people of Israel or the Hebrew children were going against? And time again, whether it was Gideon or whether it was Elijah or Elisha or any one of the old prophets, you find, hey, even though it seems like there's an insurmountable group of people or an army or such against that seems like it can't be beaten, God looks at it in a total different perspective, at a totally different perspective, and what? The people of God find themselves victorious. Read up on Gideon a bit. Read up on some of the stories of the past. You're going to see yourself recognize, hey, God had a whole different point of view. And, you know, I think that that is something we really have to be careful about, because in my own life and in yours, I think we really stress about things, and then when we get to that place or see that certain situation, we realize we got ourselves so worked up we shouldn't have. Gideon got a whole bunch of men together and said, hey, God, okay, now I've got a certain amount of group and maybe we have a chance to get these guys. And God whittled them down to just 300 men. They were battle ready. They were men ready to serve God. They were men of valor. But you know, the greatest thing they did was obey the voice of the Lord, obey the word of the Lord, and follow after God's plan, and things worked out. Come on. But if you don't know His plan, if you're not really getting into the Word of God and you're not listening to the Spirit of God, it's not going to happen. You're not going to see the victory in your life. You're not going to overcome the enemy. And your mind is going to be captivated by thoughts that are contrariwise to the nature of God and His will. Put on the helmet of salvation. One of these days I'm going to do that lesson again on the armor of God and get our perspective in place sometimes. I think some of us need a refreshing on that lesson. Put on the armor of God. It's something we need to do. Plead the blood and put on the armor of God. Glory to God. Okay, back into our scripture here. I'm kind of getting into some side things, but I'm on the mark here. I'm going to go back to verse 27. Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today, and tomorrow it's thrown in the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? The Gentiles long for these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Desire first and foremost God's kingdom. Get the things of God in your heart and mind. Meditate upon the word of God. Practice it out. Honor him first and let the word flow through you and walk after his commandments. Then you're going to see the Spirit of God begin to minister and touch. Your spirit's going to touch with God's spirit, and you're going to accomplish great things. Don't get yourself worked up. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Verse 34. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't add to it. Amen? Tomorrow has enough. Try to deal with today. Build the foundation. Keep to the plan. Walk in the grace of God and see it through. Whether it's a vision or dream, whether it's a plan of action at work, whether it's something you're trying to do in the home and building up savings, etc., to get something accomplished, keep on keeping on. Keep on the mark. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Turn with me to Philippians, verse 4, verse 6. I'm reading from the King James Version. Hey, guys, got back to the King James here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How? By prayer and supplication, make your requests unto the Lord in thanksgiving. That's what we need to do. And we need to do so in an attitude of caring, not being careful for anything, not worrying, not doubting, not fearing, not being misled, but being focused in prayer and supplication before God with thanksgiving, expecting his grace as we pray with him in accordance to his word and covenant, understanding that he knows what we have need of before we ask. Let your request be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. A modern translation reads, do not have any anxiety about anything. Another one says, is like that, which says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's not be anxious. Let's be confident. Let's put our prayers and our petitions before the Lord, knowing that he is faithful and just. Hallelujah. Whether it's forgiveness you need, whether it's help financially, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's consideration towards protection for your children, whatever it is, God has a provision in the Word of God. Get to know it. Get to understand it. Get to be confident in it and know that the Lord cares for you. What does that very popular scripture, 1 Peter 5:7 say? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Come on, guys. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast our care upon him. No, Lord, I'm going to hold on. You know, I think I can deal with this myself. Do you really want to deal with it yourself? Haven't you done a good enough job getting worked up? Hey, cast your care upon him. We need to pray a prayer of commitment, considering our worrisomeness. Give it unto him. Give it up, just the whole shebang. Hand it to him in prayer. Commit it to the Lord. Don't pick it up again either and get it worked up in your spirit again. I've started to do that about some things in my life that I realize I've been holding on to and getting fretful about. There's one specific item. I'm not going to talk to you about it, but on Friday, I wrote it down, said this is the date. I committed that to God. I prayed the prayer of commitment. You know something? Last few days, doesn't matter. It's not going to matter to me. And today, I feel such relief. That was only a day or so ago I did that. But you know something? I don't want to take it up again because I know it's in better hands. You know the commercial on the insurance commercial? You're in better hands with Allstate. Hey guys, I'm in best hands with God's state. Hallelujah. I got the best insurance going. Confidence with God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And my assurance is in Him. My policy is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can't be in a better place than that. The Bible tells me to store up riches in heaven, where moth and rust can't corrupt, or thieves break in and steal. It's a good place to place your confidence. In the vaults of heaven, in the care of the Master, who cares for you intimately as His divine creation. You know, I see too many of us worrying so much. I see too many of us getting worked up. And we need to take that place in prayer of agreement. When we recognize, hey, you know, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not carrying this burden anymore. I'm going to turn this over to the Lord like He wants me to. And I'm going to walk in the covenant promise of God, and I'm going to release my care upon Him because He is my burden lifter. And He knows what's going to happen. He knows how to handle it, and I need to get wisdom on it. Sometimes you don't even have to do anything. God just takes care of it. And if it's something you're just making up, it's, you know, something that is an illusion, it wasn't there anyway. And that fear just goes away. Make a prayer of commitment to God about worries, certain things. You know, just commit them to God. Write it down. Say, hey, I'm not taking that up anymore. Have confidence with the Lord. We have a covenant with Him. I want you to know today that He is at work in our hearts and lives, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I promise you, His good pleasure is good for us. You know, sometimes I question my mom and dad, but in most cases they're right about what was best for me. And when you have a Heavenly Father that truly cares for you and has good intentions, I trust you. I trust Him. And He, you should trust. And know that things are going to work out. Don't be beating yourself up. Don't be putting yourself in a corner you shouldn't be in. Let the Holy Spirit minister you. Give you freshness of life. You know the place in the scripture where it talks about His yoke is easy, His burden's light. You know, God's not going to put cares upon you, responsibilities upon you that He knows you can't handle. A pastor, a teacher, you know, He doesn't put scriptural precepts or things upon you or try to teach them in such a way or put them upon you as a pastor in responsibility in areas that they know you can't handle. You can't absorb. You can't take hold of. You know, you don't give baby Christians certain responsibilities, you know, that mature Christians, those who've been in the Lord for years, you know they can handle. You want to help people to take up the next step in their relationship to God, yes. But you know something? You don't want to overburden someone. You don't want to get them worked up about something they can't handle anyway. And God's not going to do that with us. Somewhere down the road, He wants to prepare you in a pathway to handle certain things and to walk in the vision, the purpose of God. How we handle that and how we walk in the training path of the Lord is up to us. There's sometimes a lot of us could have been a lot further along than what we are today if we would have stayed on course or listened to the Lord, etc. I know I'm one of them. There are things in my life I look back at now and realize, hey, I've had to go through some things over again or circumstances in my life and get retrained on that. Hey, you know, I was going through it and I kind of, hey, washed my hands clean and moved on and didn't get the lesson learned. Hey, God wants you to see the victory of God in life. He wants you to have success in your life. And He wants you to lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross today. I don't know what kind of worries are absorbed in your heart and mind. I don't know what's eating you alive. I don't know what illusions have come upon you and, you know, hey, you know, hey, you know, look at this, you know. I'm not sure. But I know a lot of it's bogus. I know a lot of it isn't really there. And I know some of the problems you've been dealing with, you should have laid at the cross a long time ago. Made that prayer of commitment and said, Lord, this problem I'm no longer carrying. I'm putting it on your shoulders, God. I know I've been carrying along something that I shouldn't have been carrying all these years, all these days. It's just holding me back in you. Your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your financial responsibilities. Where you're going to go to college, whatever it is, guys, things you're getting worked up about, things that you just can't conceive of what to do. Commit them to God. Get into the Word. Practice the Word. Speak the Word. Get into focus. See what God won't do in your heart and life. See the anxiety that's going to be put aside, and you're going to say, "Why did I carry that albatross on my back all this time?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I have carried some of these things on my back for so long. My son, my daughter, different ones I'm worried about, and wanting them in the church and serving God. And I've been worrying and worrying and getting myself built up about it. But God, it's yours. I'm committing to you today. Oh, my job, God, where I just don't understand if I should be there or not. And Lord, I just have such a misery there. God, I'm turning it over to you. And I'm going to, Lord, get into your word, and I'm going to understand in the Spirit of God what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to carry this anymore. I'm committing it to you. Lord, this financial burden, God, that is overwhelming, I can't seem to get it off my back. Lord, I'm placing this on the altar of sacrifice. Say, God, here it is. I've tried to deal with this for so long. I don't have the wisdom to deal with it. I don't have the means. I don't have the mechanisms. But God, I know that you can give me insight and you can give me understanding. And when I seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, all these things shall be added unto me. Turn it to Him right now. Make that prayer agreement. That thing that you have just allowed yourself to get worried about and worry about, give to Him right now. Write the date down in your spirit. Write the date down when you get home. I gave this to God, and I'm not taking it back up, devil. In Jesus' name, it's in the Lord's care. It's in the vaults of heaven. He's going to take care of it. He's put it away. Hallelujah. It might not be a treasure, glory to God, but Lord, it's something I got to get rid of, and I'm not putting it in my hand. I'm placing it in heaven. I'm placing it in God's hands. No longer am I carrying it. Would you do that right now? Hallelujah. Every eye closed. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your troubled thoughts, your weary soul, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Would you lay it down? Get your feet on solid ground. Take your burdens to the feet of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Do that today, would you? Lay your burden down. Lay your troubled soul, your wounded heart, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Would you do that today? Lay your burden down. Oh, leave it to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, touch your people, Lord, right now. Touch your people right now. Musicians, oh, would you come? Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and we're going to just let the Spirit of God begin to minister here right now in this place in Jesus' name. Jeff, would you come over here? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't play anything right now. The Holy Spirit is ministering to hearts.